Nehemiah. I don't have that scripture with me, but I have it. Is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10? Yes. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10 is the scripture that we are going to read together. And we've been teaching on joy for this month. This is the month of power and joy. And what incredible services we have had concerning that. And I tell you what, this week has been my toughest week on saying, you ain't going to get my joy. This has been the toughest week. I'm going to tell you, he came real close several times. I think he got it a couple times, and I reached out and got it back. But we played tug of war with it a little bit. But today was a great victorious day. I might mention that here in just a second. But anyway, the scripture says, then he said unto them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, send portions unto them from whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Neither be ye distraught, is what the word is saying. Neither be ye downcast, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And I think this is God's way, speaking to his people and speaking to us, of saying that there is no situation that will ever come your way that you will not, if you trust in him, that you will not be able to keep your head up and say, I have the joy of the Lord. Because it's not our joy, it's his joy that we're leaning on and that we are trusting in. And so how many of us have been, since we've been teaching on this, have been saying, nope, you're not going to get my joy. It's been tested, hasn't it? But it works. Because what it does is it forces you to recognize that something or someone is either being used by Satan or Satan himself that's trying to get in there and take away your strength. And how does your strength come? It comes through the joy of the Lord. And when you recognize that and you say, no, it's not going to happen, it's amazing how God steps in and says, that's right. That doesn't mean the situation goes away. It just means our outlook on the situation is different. Things for us change in here and in here, which in turn, trust me, changes everything. Because what's in here, comes out of here, and what comes out of here changes everything. It's the truth. It's the truth. Father, help us tonight as we teach the word of the Lord. We ask for your strength and your guidance, and we just say thank you, Lord. Everybody say amen. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. In a moment, we're gonna talk about why should I have joy? Ask your neighbor that. Why should you have joy? Now, there's a lot of reasons, but we're going to deal with a few that are directly in the Word of God. Things that that I believe, I feel, that too often we lose, and for many of us, we have actually lost. And we don't even think about these things very much anymore. And these are areas that the Word talks about that we should meditate on, because it brings a joy into our life. Now, I'm asking you as a church to continue to pray. Brother Satt mentioned it a little bit concerning our situation, that Well, let me just put it this way. Concerning our miracle that is being performed. Listen, you know, Brother Sapp doesn't know this because I didn't tell him. But he said something that I thought was, incredible. And it lined up with this. He said after the prophet prophesied, I can't remember which one he was talking about. Was it Ezekiel? Elijah? Prophesied that he didn't just go do whatever he said. But he went and did what? He went and prayed and fasted. So I called Brother Campitella a few days ago, and because I wanted to share with him what God started doing immediately, which I know I haven't even shared with you, because I haven't, that's why. And I will, but I just haven't. But we will, just waiting. So anyway, So I called him up and I said, you are not going to believe. You're not going to believe. 2 days after you prophesied this to the church, this happened. And I was going through him with some things. And he said, brother, when I left that house, my wife and I started a 40-day fast for your church. And I'm thinking, this guy's an evangelist. He gets nothing from us except what we gave him when he came, which was pretty good. But outside of that, he gets nothing from us. But God has so moved in his life concerning this that he didn't just leave here and go on about his way and forget about what the Lord spoke through him. But he has carried this burden and passion into his life and started this 40-day fast. We had a few things that took a really bad turn this week concerning it, but today all of that was reversed, and we give God praise for that greatly, and we're back on track. Hopefully within just a week or two, we're going to be able to come to you and lay all of this out. And as I told you earlier, this is the greatest miracle I have personally ever witnessed in my walk with God concerning finances. So God is amazing. And to whom much is given, much is. Okay, but we'll talk about that later too. So God doesn't do things for people for them to just go bask, right? To go, no. He does things for you because he expects you to take everything he gives you and use it for the kingdom and go to work for the kingdom and to do things for the kingdom. And, of course, that's exactly what we're going to do. So tonight we are going to wrap up our joyride and been preaching about joy. And there's some things that abide with us on a continual basis, that there is no power in hell that can take them away from you. You know, there's a lot of things God gives us that are temporary. A lot of things he blesses us in the flesh, right? God blesses us in the flesh and takes care of us and our needs. These are temporary blessings that God brings into our life to keep us, and because maybe we pray about certain things and etc., and he'll bless us. But these kind of things Satan can manipulate. He can come in and he can mess with your mind. He can mess with your heart. He can mess with you as an individual and get in there and mess that all up, because that's just kind of temporary blessings, and then we got to go get back right with God, and then the blessing comes back, and you know what I'm talking about. That's our everyday walk with God, right? Well, there are some things, though, that are forever established in heaven, and that nothing that you do or nothing that I do will ever change. It is forever established, and it is going to come to pass no matter what. It is going to happen. And we're going to talk about a few of these things in the Word of God tonight. And listen, if we can anchor our joy in these things, if this is where we can really entrust ourselves to the Lord, and we can really anchor our experience in God concerning these things, then it will strengthen the foundation of our strength in the Lord, the foundation of our strength which comes through the joy of the Lord, because he may mess with me in some areas and take joy here and take joy here, but there's some things he can never ever take away from me. And I need to learn to anchor my joy, my trust in these areas in God. And then I know that my joy in the Lord and my strength in the Lord is going to be more solid, more rock solid in my walk with God. And one of those things that I want to talk about, now in this one, can we kind of mess this up? Yeah, we can. But the devil cannot take it. I'm here to tell you that there is no man, the Bible says, there is no man on earth, there is no demon in hell that can pluck you out of the hand of the Father. Can't do it. Can't do it. It doesn't matter what he brings your way. It doesn't matter the trial that you suffer. You can suffer physical affliction. You can die of a disease, but the last words out of your mouth can still be, Jesus, I love you. I trust you. I abide in you. And no matter what the devil tries, he cannot take your salvation. Praise God. And I know that from personal experience. And you have people, I'm just using this because it's my own personal experience. But I've watched my mother suffer for over 50 years. Well, I didn't watch her all that time because I wasn't born yet. But the years that I lived and can remember, I remember when I was 5 years old that my mother was walking on crutches. And at 5 years old, I remember her handing me those crutches, and I put them in a closet, and she never ever used them again. I even remember blood being on top of them because she had to use them so much. But she put them up, and it was at that point that she went into the wheelchair and was never even able to use those crutches again. And I watched her through her life slowly depreciate to where she couldn't feed herself or bathe herself or do anything for herself, lost her eyesight. But never a moment anywheres in that process of her life did she ever curse God. Did she ever blame God? Did she ever question God? She always just trusted him in everything. And she took her last breath suffering from that disease. Everything that the adversary tried, everything that disease could offer in its worst possible method, was not able to take from that precious woman her salvation and trust in her Lord. So I'm here to tell you, not only did he not take her salvation, he never took her joy. She was one of those that when you went in to minister, you left ministered to. It's just the way she was. And I thank God for my mother, the example she led, because I constantly remind myself any moment of time in life when I begin to feel sorry for little old Daniel because things aren't going right, I quickly remember Mom and say, son, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And it has a way of lifting me back up and saying, devil, you're a liar. I'm nothing but a selfish, self-egotistical brat. And I'm coming out of this and I'm going to praise God. I've got more blessings in my life than I know what to do with. I can't even count them. There's so much God's doing for me. Every one of us ought to feel that way. God does so much for me every day. Devil, are you kidding me? There's nothing you can bring. There's nothing you can do. I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to have joy because the joy of the Lord is my strength. He can try what he wants to try, but he cannot take your salvation. Psalms chapter number 51 and verse 12 says, restore unto me. Now look at this. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. I like the way David said that. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. At this time, David was being pursued by Saul. Sometimes he had to hide in a cave, and sometimes he hid in the wilderness. There were times he went into the enemy camp and he hid amongst the enemy. There were times he acted like he was a madman and did all kinds of things. It wasn't easy for David. He was already anointed king. He was already prophesied to be king, but things weren't going well in his life. And when David would get down and out, and when David would start feeling sorry for himself, he would say, Lord, nothing else is going right for me. Life isn't very well today. All things are bad. No money in the bank, no food in the cupboard. Everybody hates me. Everybody's turned against me. Everybody wants to kill me. But God, I'm still saved. And what I want you to do, Holy Ghost, is restore in me the joy of my salvation. What was David saying? If I can't find anything else to be happy about, if there's nothing else going on in my life that I can find a little joy in, if the wife's against me, if the children rebelled, if I lost the job, if the doctor said you're going to die, I'll tell you what I'll do. I will rejoice in something that nobody can take. No devil can steal the joy of my salvation. Woo! I wish somebody would shout it. I'm still saved, devil. Come on, shout it again. I'm still saved, devil. One more time. I'm still saved, devil. You can take a lot of things from me, devil, but you can't take my salvation. You can touch my flesh. You can touch my spirit. You can mess up my mind, but you can't get my salvation. And I will have joy in the salvation of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm telling you tonight, I'm giving you the antidote. I'm giving you the prescription to have joy. Lock your joy into something that no devil can take. Lock your joy into something that no man can take. Lock your joy into something that is eternal. Clap your hands to the Lord and give God praise. Psalms 21 and 1. We flip this. Here David says, the king shall joy in thy strength. O Lord, in thy salvation, how greatly shall he rejoice. So now David's calling himself a king. But I love his revelation, because now everything's going right. Yeah, he's got the Cadillac in the driveway. He don't only have bread. He's got wheat bread, sour bread, white bread, and every other kind of bread. He don't only have fruit. He's got every fruit you can imagine. Everywhere he turns, there's some pretty little girl trying to stick a grape in his mouth. He's got somebody else walking behind him with a palm leaf keeping him cool as he strolls down the street in his royal robe. Everything's going good for David. He's riding on his horse, got his act together.
He's got a good job now. His wife actually massages his feet before he goes to bed. And the meal's cooked on time. The house is clean and the clothes are folded. Oh, yeah, just got a promotion and got a raise. All of his neighbors praise him and love him. Everybody thinks he's great. Everything's going right. But David had a revelation. I don't trust in those things. I don't have joy in those things. That's not where my joy is. The King. The King shall joy in thy salvation. I've learned something, God. All these other things fade away. All these other things have a way of disappearing. But my salvation is secure. That's where my joy is. I'm excited that once I was lost, but now I'm found. Once I was blind, but now I see. I'm excited. I was lost. I was undone. I was an outcast. I was full of sin. But God, you found me, but you didn't leave me there. You brought me out. You cleaned me up. The old man died. I came up a new creature in Christ. That is what I'm happy about. That is what excites me. The joy is in my salvation. My joy is in my salvation. I wish somebody would get a hold of this. We need to get excited about this all over again. Remember where you were. Remember how God found you. Look what God's done for you. Look how God's blessed you. Look how God's helped you. My joy is in my salvation. Woo! This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. So if I lose everything here, and you know what? It's like that one fella said, the wealthy man was dying. They're putting him in the ground. Guy over here said, I wonder how much he left behind. And the guy next to him said, he left it all. He left it all. He said, it all comes to an end, folks. But if you're anchored. Ha! Woo! If you're anchored in Him, then you can have joy on your last breath, because you know your last breath here in the celestial. Am I getting those right? Which one's earthly? Celestial. Your last breath here in the celestial, terrestrial. Yeah. Yeah. Your last breath here in the terrestrial is your first breath in the celestial. That's why you got a smile on your face. That's why you're still excited in your heart. We'll anchor our joy in our salvation. There are other scriptures. Isaiah 12 and 3, Isaiah 61 and 10, Romans 5 and 11, and many others. Many others. So if we'll learn to anchor our joy in things that never change. Now, I know we can backslide, but I'm talking about staying with God. We anchor ourselves in things that will never change. Then no matter what comes our way and no matter what happens, we can still have joy. If all my joy is in my job, then what happens when I lose it? If all my joy is in my money, then what happens when the stock market breaks? Go down suicide road and ask the multimillionaires who the day before were drinking and celebrating
And then the day of the market crash took their life because there was no hope left. Because all of their joy was in the market. So if we will anchor our joy in things that are eternal and that God cannot take, then when everything else shakes, we can still have the joy of the Lord. Praise God. Another place the Bible talks about that we should have joy in. And I'm not going to read this. I'm going to come down a little way so I can get to a few more things I want to talk about. Acts chapter 13, verses 45 through 52 talks about the fact that we should be excited that the Word of God is being published. I read a little thing. Sister Sharon showed this to me on her phone. And I guess your daughter's in a college class or something somewhere and studying religion. Not studying religion, but the class was on religion. Okay. One of the classes was on religion. And they made the statement today, and she texted to her mom, that the two fastest growing religious sects or whatever you want to call it, movements, two fastest growing is Islam and Pentecostalism in the world. They estimate today, right now today, that nearly 900 million people talk in tongues. That's what they estimate. 900 million. Almost a billion people. Now, they're not, are they all apostolic? No. But the Spirit's what leads you into truth. So you say, well, no, 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 no. You don't understand. This is how God works. God knows how to plant a big garden. Plants his seed all around the world. He's got tongue talkers all over the world. He knows they don't have all truth, but he's got them in the palm of his hand. And when the time's right, he's going to turn that little switch on. They're going to recognize he's Lord, and you're going to have powerful witnesses throughout the entire world, and you're going to see the greatest revival this world has ever seen right before Jesus Christ comes back to get his bride. That's why the Bible says if you toiled for him all day, don't get mad when you get to heaven and there's a bunch of people there that got the Holy Ghost 9 seconds before Jesus came back. Honey, just be happy you're there. Because there's going to be a great reaping in the end time. And God has planted his seed all around this world. And the Bible tells us that one of the things we need to anchor our joy in is that the gospel is being preached. And that's where we are. That's where, so when everything else goes wrong, I can still say to myself, Sister Katie Ann, somebody somewhere is hearing the gospel right now. That ought to get me excited because I might get this almost wrong. I don't know. It's possible for me to be wrong. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, I think about 188 major countries. The United Pentecostal Church is in 184 of 188 major countries. There is not a moment on planet Earth that the sun goes down on the United Pentecostal. And we're just one small part of God's church, but so don't misunderstand that. But there's not a place in the world where the sun goes down on the United Pentecostal Church. We are somewheres, everywheres, at every moment. Somebody is receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so next time things aren't going just right and I can't seem to get my mind just straight, why don't you try this? Why don't you just say, hey, somewhere right now, somebody is hearing the word of God.
That ought to get you excited. That ought to put a joy down inside of you somewhere right now. Mercy, no matter when, what, where, how, somewhere somebody is hearing the word of God. I'm talking about things that the Bible says that we should anchor our joy in, and that if we'll anchor it in these, we'll never lose it, because there's never going to be a day till after God comes back that somebody somewhere on this planet isn't hearing the word of God. And we're working on the other four countries. They're just, and we're in there. We're just in there under the blanket, undercover. I think that's how they say that, yeah. Another area the Bible talks about having joy in. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. For what is our hope? Paul says to the church of Thessalonica. What is our hope? What is our joy? He says hope or joy. So what is our hope? What is our joy? What is our crown of rejoicing? What is the thing that is the foundation of our purpose in rejoicing, that we have joy? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Paul is preaching to the church of Thessalonica, and he said, do you want to know what the foundation of my joy is? That you are going to remain in Christ until the day that he comes. Listen, I'm going to give you a secret. Everybody say, the joy of the Lord. Say, the Lord's joy. Say, his joy. Say, what makes him happy? That's what we're talking about. His joy. What makes him rejoice? What's the first thing that comes to your mind that makes the Lord rejoice? What is it? When a sinner repents, God shouts. Right? I'm going to give you a secret. You want to get joy, and you want to stay in joy? I'm not talking about be beside yourself and giggle all the time. I'm talking about maintaining your walk with God in strength and stay and keeping your peace and not freaking out. Keeping the joy of the Lord, which brings peace and hope. You want to stay in joy? You want to anchor yourself in something that will bring you more joy than anything else ever in this world? Save a soul and disciple them. Don't only bring them to God, stay with them. Teach them a Bible study. Ground them. Watch them grow. Watch them begin to teach Bible studies. Watch them begin to reach for the lost. Every time you see them, something will rise. No matter how bad your day is, no matter, here you are, and we do it all the time. Here we are. We're here. We're sucking our thumb because we got cut off in traffic. And because we got cut off in traffic, we didn't make it to McDonald's before they stopped serving breakfast. And because we didn't, so here we are. We had to eat a greasy cheeseburger for breakfast, and we wanted that Mac chicken egg and bacon sandwich. And we're sitting here
and we're mad. And all of a sudden, service is going on, and that young lady or young man that we won to the Lord comes down and starts worshiping. Trust me. Every bad feeling, every bad thought, every hardship fades away, because nothing's going to bring you more joy than saving a soul. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. And when your world is torn apart, I'm going to tell you what the Lord will do. When your world's torn apart, He will take that man or woman that He used you to bring into the kingdom of God, and He'll have them call you, and He'll let their problem be bigger than yours. And the next thing you know, your problem's pushed aside because you're engaged trying to help that soul stand on their feet. My Lord, have mercy. Paul said, there's no greater joy. John said, put it this way, in 3 John chapter 1, verse 4. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Nothing, John said, excites me more. This is John the Revelator. He wrote this book before they sent him off to the Isle of Patmos. And he says, I have no greater joy, none, no greater joy than to know that the ones I led to God are still walking in truth. Clap your hands to the Lord. Amen. We need to all make up our minds that we're gonna win a soul. We're gonna win a soul. There's no one in this building that cannot win a soul. You can do it. Ask God to help you. It doesn't matter if you're an elder or if you are younger. God can help you win a soul. My boy Joel made me proud today, or made me happy. We were driving in the car, and I looked over there, and he had drew a picture. And I said, what is that? And it had a curve on it, and had a bunch of people sitting in chairs. Well, sticks, you know, stick people, of course, sitting in chairs. And then two stick people up top here. And I said, what in the world is that? He said, that's me and Cameron. We're teaching Bible studies to the middle school. He was drawing that picture. And so we talked about it a little bit, but the power about that is he's visioning that in his mind. He's getting that in his spirit. And it's not going to be long. He's going to actually believe he's able to do it. And if you can start visioning in your mind and get it in your spirit, you winning a soul to the Lord, you're going to believe that. And God's going to send somebody to you. He's going to give you the opportunity to witness. Hey, it's not easy winning souls. Sometimes you have to work with them a very long time. God might give you a hard nut to crack, but if you'll stay with it, He'll give you the power and the strength to make it happen. He will do it. And nothing will give you greater joy and greater strength in the Lord than winning a soul. Isn't that what this is all about? It's what it's all about. Okay, we're going to touch a couple more things and we'll bring this to a close tonight. Matthew chapter 28 and verse number 8. Everybody say, the resurrection of the Lord. Now listen, that's never going to change. He's never going to die. He came up out of the grave. The Father came into that body. Colossians tells us the fullness of the Godhead bodily came into that body. He resurrected it from the ground. He now dwells in that body. And the only God you and I will ever see or know is Jesus Christ. He's never going to die. He's never going back to the grave. His resurrection is forever. And if you can lock your joy into the fact that your God has conquered death, hell, and the grave, nothing can ever take that joy from you. Come on. So everybody say his resurrection. Oh, but wait a minute. It didn't stop there. Acts chapter 2, verse number 26. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh, shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. So not only his resurrection, my resurrection. I'm not only, but because I know he resurrected, I know that I'm going to resurrect. So if he doesn't return and before I die and I go to the grave, I'm going to die with a smile on my face, because this isn't my last moment in eternity. The day's going to come when the trump of God is going to sound. Oh, hallelujah. The archangel's going to cry from heaven, and the graves are going to tremble, and the earth's going to give up her dead, and the sea's going to give up her dead, and the first resurrection is going to come. We're going to come up out of that grave. There ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Listen, no matter how hard it gets, you can always have joy in the fact that the day's coming that this old body, it's going to be resurrected. No more sorrow, no more pain, no more suffering in the presence of the Lord. That ought to make you excited. Tell your neighbor. Because they're not excited like you. Tell your neighbor, you need to get renewed in your joy about the resurrection. Because it's real. And the Bible tells us, and on the scripture, and I guess I can just, the resurrection, and then Thessalonians 4:13, read that. Through 4:18. And then 1 Thessalonians 2 and 19 talks about our joy should be anchored in the returning of Christ. You know, we've heard this so long. Let's be honest. We just don't get all that excited anymore when someone talks about the returning of the Lord. You know, even back in Paul the Apostle's day, Sister Faircloth, even back in Paul the Apostle's day, the Bible says that men were saying, where is the coming of the Lord? Where is the returning of the Lord? Things, they said, things are as they have always been, and things will never change. That was even back in the days of the apostles. No wonder we have so many scoffers and mockers and disbeliefs, and evolution has taken such a grip, and the teaching of atheism or agnosticism, where you believe there's a being but he doesn't know you, and atheism where you don't even believe there's anything out there. You're just a freak of nature, some kind of accident that took. No wonder these types of teachings are so rising so powerfully in the world. And they're even rising amongst religious denominations, where people today, many religions don't even believe that the Word of God is the sovereign Word of God. That, you know, it's just a good book that sort of teaches us how to live, but you can't take things, you know, literal and all of that. Satan has so gotten himself into religion and into this world because people are no longer anticipating the coming of Christ. When's the last time that you actually thought about it? I know when it was. It was when you were sick in bed, you were down and out, depressed, when your car was heading straight for an 18-wheeler, and you didn't know how he was going to get around. All of a sudden, your mind goes to the Lord. When was the last time that we thought about the fact, Sister Cindy, that the Lord is coming back and got excited about it? When's the last time we even thought about him coming back? Much less take the time to actually get excited about it and to have joy come into our life that Jesus is going to return, that he is coming back. And when you study history, people say, well, he should have come, you know, 100 years ago. He couldn't have. There's, now that we look back, we see things in the Bible. And in 100 years, we might even look back and see, I don't know. But there's things in the Bible. The word of the Lord says that when the two prophets stand in the street, in the book of Revelations, the two prophets stand in the street and then they're resurrected. The word of the Lord says that all eyes upon earth will see them rise. Now, that couldn't even happen until my generation, unless God was going to give everybody x-ray vision of some kind, where they could all just see through the earth. But now in our generation, it's possible, isn't it? Through internet, through television, whatever method, that all I don't think the Lord means that every single eyeball will see it. What he means is the whole world will see it. That from all parts of the world, it will be able to be viewed and see these men resurrect. Well, that couldn't even happen until just recently. And there are other things in the word of the Lord that it wasn't until our generation. And we don't completely understand everything in the Bible, so I don't know. Maybe there are other things that even have to be formed by the hands of man that God institutes and predestinates to happen before these things can come to pass. Don't have those answers. But this is an answer I do have. He is coming back. And Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 19 says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Or not even in the presence of the Lord Jesus, how? At his coming. For ye are our glory and our joy. The joy of what? Our crown of this whole experience is that Christ is coming back for us. Do you know what the Bible says? The word of the Lord says that if we have hope in Christ. Now listen to the words. If we have hope in Christ in this life only, we are men most miserable. I hear people say it all the time, and I understand what they're saying. You know, they'll say, if there was no heaven, I'd hear them say, if there was no heaven and all I had was just what I have in Christ right now, I would still be excited. Well, that's not even biblical. The Bible says that if our hope in Christ was in this life only, that we would be men most miserable. What is our eternal joy? What is our eternal hope? It's the fact that our hope is not in Christ in this life only. Because listen. Even with God, life is miserable. Right now, I got a pain in my back. I'm 51 years old. If God will help me, I'll be 150 if he tarries. But this is what happens. Hey. Hey.
What? What? That's what happens in life. There's nothing in this life really to look forward to or to get excited about. I mean, even in the Lord Jesus, I understand that we live in strength. But when I talk about keep, why do I have to preach keep the joy of the Lord? Because you're miserable. That's the whole point of the message. That's the reason why God keeps pounding it in your heart and pounding it in your head. Keep the joy of the Lord. Keep the joy of the Lord. Get the joy of the Lord. Let your joy be in your salvation. Let the joy be in Christ's return. Let the joy be in eternal life. Why? The reason why that's got to keep being preached is because we live in a miserable world. It's a sin-stricken, falling, depressing, miserable place. And the only thing that gives us any joy at all is Jesus Christ in our heart and in our life that gives us the strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. But my real joy is that when I die here, I'm going there to be with Him forever. Oh, let's stand to our feet and clap our hands to the Lord. Come on, somebody, give God praise. We need to anchor our joy. We need to anchor our joy in things that are eternal. We need to anchor our joy in things that don't move, that cannot be shaken. And when everything else falls around us, my joy is in that the word is being preached. My joy is that I reached a soul for Christ. That's my joy. My joy is that He's returning. My joy is that He saved me and no man can pluck me out of the hand of the Father. My joy is that when I die, He's coming back. Where's my joy anchored? It's anchored in the eternal things of God. And no matter what happens on this earth, my joy is not here. My joy is there. Praise God. And then your homework, everybody say homework. Revelations chapter 21, go read it. Chapter verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no sorrow, no crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write these things. The words are true and faithful. He said, write them. They're true and they're faithful. They're going to happen. They're going to come to pass. It is going to happen. The ultimate joy for all of us is that one day, and the world so tries to tear this down. It tries to make you feel that you're an idiot for believing that there's life after this life. Believing that you're going to go to some celestial, glorious, glowing, beautiful place called heaven. Woo! My Lord, just thinking about it does something to me. That you're going to walk on streets that are made out of transparent gold. The walls are going to be jasper. 12 foundations of the apostles' names written in them and made out of the different types of stones. And the beauty of this city, 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep. Wow, what an incredible, awesome place. And the Lord said, I'm building it for you right now. He said, I'm going to go away. But I love it. He said,
let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, I come to tell you something. I'm going to leave you, but when I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I'm done, I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you and I'm going to bring you home with me. And we're going to be there forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It's a place called heaven, and it's real. I said it's real. It's there. Our God is real. Heaven is real. And when you find yourself down and out and you find yourself depressed, why don't you start thinking about this place called heaven that God is making for us? Anchor your joy in the things that will never be moved. Praise God. And so we close out this little series with an understanding. There's some things that we can put our joy in, that no matter what happens, that joy can never, ever be removed. Never, ever be removed. Father, we come to you tonight. We thank you for your word. Your word is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but not your word. Your word will never falter. It will never fail. It's eternal. And the truths that we find there are so glorious, so powerful. Lord, you are trying to help us. You're trying to teach us how to walk a prosperous life in you. How to walk in this world and have joy. That even though we're amongst a world that is lost and a world that is dying, we as the children of God can walk in joy. If we will learn to anchor our joy in the things that make you joyful, we would learn to anchor our joy in winning a soul, anchor our joy in the spreading of the gospel, anchor our joy in the returning of Christ, anchor our joy in being in your presence forever. God, help us, I pray. Lord, when things start to get us down, help us to remember. Help us to shake ourselves and say, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back, this isn't going to matter. Wait a minute. Heaven is real. Wait a minute. A soul is being saved. Wait a minute. I am saved. I am saved. And no man shall pluck me out of the hand of the Father. That's what I'm excited about. That's what I'm joyous about. God, help us. God, help us. Help us. Hallelujah. And so what we are going to do, as we've been doing for the last few weeks, when we see something trying to steal our joy, our peace, we say, whoa, 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 wait a minute. No. You're not going to get it. But now we've got something to anchor it in. You see, now it's not just words, but now we can say, no, devil, you're not going to take it, because my joy is not anchored in this thing that you're messing with. My joy is anchored in Christ coming back. My joy is anchored in the word being spread. My joy is anchored in the resurrection. My joy is anchored in my salvation. So mess with it, devil. Mess with that. Touch that. Mess with that. Oh, it may disturb me a little bit, but you're not going to get my joy, because that's not where my joy is. We can let this get a hold of us, and if this will catch on into the church, there will be such a power and such a strength that comes to the house of God. Hallelujah. We will learn that our true joy comes in saving a soul, And we will do anything that we can to reach a soul. And the church will grow. And because of the growth of the church, more joy will come. And the presence of God will overwhelm us. And it'll start this non-ending circle of glory and soul winning and reaping the lost. Amen. So somebody say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Shout it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Clap your hands to the Lord. He's worthy. Shout unto the Lord. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. God bless you. You're dismissed in the joy of the Lord. Love you. I'll see you tomorrow night. Prayer right here at the school. Prayer 7 o'clock tomorrow night right here at the school.